The management of this station would like to apologize for anything that may offend you on today's show. Specifically, we'd like to preemptively say we're sorry to women, men, children, the elderly, pets, all major world religions, the governors of all 50 states and their families, Heidi and Spencer Pratt, and anyone who requested a song we did not play. Let's return to the show, which will remain nameless so we can use this apology again in the event we need to fire them after giving in to protesters. And now, for now, here's...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Catch up with your high school sweetheart or your college love on the internet's newest social networking site.
Eastern High Class of 91. Oh, there's Steve. Whoa. He really let himself go.
Introducing Assbook, the website that reconnects you with old flames and shows you how gigantic their rear end has become.
Oh, my God. Is that Julie? She's enormous. Oh, let's see. Options. Do I want to poke Julie?
Not anymore, I don't. Social networking sites are huge, and so is the backside of your former prom date. And you can see it all on Assbook.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Yes, we've all been stuck behind you, sir, wondering aloud, is it going to turn here? No. Maybe at the next? No. Then maybe? No.
You're gonna cause a five-car
perhaps, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, you are simply on a personal mission to drive around the entire globe slightly to the left.
I'd honk my horn, but you wouldn't notice.
Apparently, you don't notice anything.
Maybe you'll notice this unseen gesture, yeah.
You believe a left turn signal should be left on, and your right turn signal feels so right, you never shut it off. And so we dub you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, a real American hero.
The guy who leaves his stupid blinker on.
Oh, he must be turning here. Nope. Oh, dear. No.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, March 24th.
Woo-hoo!
It's me in the studio with my chocolate-eating, chocolate-devouring co-host.
You know what, Sam? I thought we had some off-topics.
Yeah.
And my chocolate addiction. Listen, people, here's the deal. Okay. I know you don't want to. You don't want to. We don't want to talk about this, so we won't. But the reality is, it's called a period.
Oh, is that what it's called?
It's called a period.
Okay,
it's
so I must have one every day because I crave chocolate all the time.
There you go. And that's you know, I would use it and, you know, just let people know, look.
Yes.
This is going to sound really gross and bad.
So it happens to you every month where you crave chocolate?
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much love chocolate on a daily basis, but as far as craving chocolate, it's definitely more towards my period. And this this is so gross, but this is what I thought. Oh, I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but I was like, somebody just needs to go ahead and invent a chocolate tampon.
So you can take it between your legs. That's what
well,
you're
saying. Well, that's dirty. But I mean, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Not dirty.
It's
I mean, that's where you'd put it.
Exactly. And okay. I was just like, let's just get to the point. Let's just get to the damn point.
Yeah. Unless you'd want to eat it.
Oh, that's so gross.
That would be gross, huh?
But no, you know, a little chocolate never hurt anybody, right?
Yeah, there you go. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well.
Yes.
I'm feeling really good. I had a great time last night.
You did?
Yes. I went out with a really fun Italian friend. We laughed, had a few Cosmos. It was very fun. And then came home and my roommates were causing a bunch of ruckus and we just laughed more.
Yeah. Was that a female or male friend?
It's a male friend.
A male Italian friend.
Yeah.
And where'd you meet that?
Where'd I meet that? As that is not human.
That.
Where
that
did you
person.
Meet that person? You know, good old coffee shop.
Oh, is that the guy? The guy that picked you up at the Starbucks?
No, it wasn't Starbucks.
Okay, it was a different coffee bean. Coffee bean. Excuse me.
Yes.
Let's get to the point.
The one that called me healthy.
Right.
Yeah. We had a good time.
And the guy that you said had no chance with you.
Well, and let me get something straight.
Yeah.
It's not. I was very upfront. Here's the thing, Sam. I think you might be listening.
Okay. Listen, yeah. So if you whisper, you won't hear.
Yeah. Whatever. No. My. Okay. Yeah. So now here's the thing. No, it's more of the thing where I think he's a really cool guy and I wanted to go out and have fun. And he asked me out. I was like, sure. And I was very upfront. Like, look, this is just going to be fun and friends. And,
yeah.
And I'm very aware that men don't set out to meet women as friends. I'm aware of that. So I was upfront about it.
Right.
And he was still insistent. And I said, well, as long as you know where I stand with this.
You never mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did not.
Oh, I didn't. Well, no. that's part of the conversation.
Yeah. So you gave him a phone number.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah, I did.
Okay.
He's cool.
Okay, I just wanted to get it all straight.
Listen, he's a way cool guy, and he's really fun.
I'm sure he is.
He's really fun,
yeah.
And I mean, not everything needs to go down the aisle in marriage and kids and villages
and
children.
That's true. You just got to come clean, though, you know?
And I was clean. I was very upfront. I said, look, let's both talk to each other like we're men.
Yeah.
The reality is you're totally interested on this level, mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying the attention and the fun of this, and I'm enjoying your conversation, and he's really cool.
I see.
And I just want that. So if you're cool with just that, let's go out.
And how do you know? So there's no like physical attraction or anything?
Oh, no. He's a really good looking guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't really. I think it was just a lot of other things that I noticed that I just wasn't.
I see. Okay.
Longer
term. We don't have to get into detail. But,
yeah.
But enough said. Anyway, let's bring in your friend. A very good friend of yours.
Very long time good friend. Bubbly, lovely, bubbly, lovely, lovely, bubbly, lovely. Claire.
Claire, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, if I knew you had roommates like, well, first Sarah,
uh-huh.
and then Claire.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm moving in now.
You need to. You need to.
Yeah.
It's a girl party every night.
This would be like a man's paradise.
And it is.
Well,
it
is. My husband's paradise.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, so you're married. Okay, well, we'll keep you here only for a short time.
But we make jokes because, you know, he commutes. I've explained your situation, yeah. but it's still you have to explain it again. So go
well,
for it.
So I'm married with roommates, basically, and my husband travels to Texas every week for his job.
Every week?
Yeah, he has a 3-hour commute.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did he move from Texas or was he living here and then got a job over there?
No, we both were from Texas, from Houston.
I see.
And so we moved here together for me to pursue my dreams.
I see.
You know, that kind of thing. And he's just like, I don't really want to quit my job because it's good. I was like, well, okay, well, you know.
But that's crazy. So who pays for him going back and forth?
His company.
Really?
They really love him.
They really want him that
bad. He's pretty awesome at what he does.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty unique.
Wow, that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to cost a lot of money.
I know.
But I don't know how he manages the flights, because let me tell you, we just had one flight coming back from New York, and it was turbulent the whole way. And I was just like, I thought we were going to die at a certain point. And I'm thinking, how can someone fly so often, and you go through all the security, you know, it's not fun flying anymore.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of a pain in the ass.
It really is.
Yeah. I think, like flying for pleasure when you're going on vacation versus you're off to work. And, you know, I've had my aunt, she flew, I mean, several times a week to different cities, and it just becomes like up in the air, the movie.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. It does lose its – does. I mean, flying has become it just so – the norm, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy how often. And he's joined the President's Club, so he gets to have a drink or have cereal in the morning. And he used to get upgraded to first class all the time until Continental joined United Airlines, and now all the stupid United people take his spots.
Really?
Because there's like thousands of United people that,
right.
I don't know, they made it really easy to get lots of points on United.
Yeah, I see.
I kind of want to go punch them all.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking my husband's spot.
Only okay, my baby gets first class. Only my baby. So Claire and Tater there. Tate's there probably like 3 days a week, pretty much.
Yeah.
3 days.
3 days, 4 nights-ish.
Or, yeah.
Maybe less.
That's like a fireman's schedule, isn't it? Like 48
oh, really?
Hours. And
pretty
then,
much. And yeah. we make jokes that Sarah and I, the other roommate, and I are like his sister wives.
Yeah, my family hates that joke. It's so funny. Yeah.
Oh,
they're like hardcore, you know, they're hardcore conservative, which is cool.
They don't get that that's funny, though?
Oh, no, they think it's awful.
Are you serious?
Like, oh, I'm concerned for you, Claire. Why do you joke about your sister wives?
Yeah. Are you serious?
They're like, it's a joke. It's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
That's weird. I mean, I love you guys, but still.
I know.
It's just a joke. Like, we're not even polygamous.
I'll bet you he fantasizes about the three of you all at the same time. Don't tell me no.
Because I know this guy.
Yeah, and I
believe
know.
Believe me, Sarah and I are not his type.
And I know men. Give me a break.
No, believe me. We're all blonde. It's the blonde department. Even my husband's blonde.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, we're talking about fantasy. How would you know that he does or doesn't?
You're right. I don't know, but that still makes me want to throw up, even though I love Tate.
I want to throw up.
It does. It does make me feel. Because he's like a brother. It's like a brother.
Yeah.
He's like a brother. I've known him for he's seen me wake up in the morning.
He met you before he met me.
Yeah, I met him. Speaking. I met him before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you two know each other from Texas?
We did.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh,
hell yeah.
I see. So it's not something new, right?
No.
But Sarah, you met here.
I met Sarah here, and it's like I've known her for 5 lives or something. But Claire and I actually worked at a Starbucks, which is where I met a lot of my great friends.
Yeah.
Is in Houston. Yeah. And we actually worked at the store across from NASA,
yep.
Which made our store a little bit more smart, I guess. Or we have a little more street cred, right? But we worked there, and we both had this dream, and we both want to go be actresses and flashy lights. And
first day we worked together, we talked about moving to L.A.
We talked about moving to L.A.
Really?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then she moves, and I got married.
But then you moved down here, and I'm living with you. All worked out.
It sure did.
I need a place to stay. So, So then I moved out, and then Claire, her and Tate ended up dating, and I was like, really? Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Because I wasn't there for that. I didn't know. I knew them separately, and I didn't know them dating.
I see. Okay.
And then I found out they're dating, and then they came and visited a few times. We had a great time. And and then Claire moved out and started hitting the floor running. And But yeah, so she's out here doing her thing, and like all of us. And Tate has been extremely patient.
Yes. And supportive.
And he is very supportive. And
supportive of what?
Of her dreams.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
all of us. Yeah.
He is. He is very, and it's a lot. I mean, he's a very patient guy when it comes to, you know, not most guys would like.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So how long have you guys been married?
It's 6.5 years.
Wow.
Going
that's
on number
a long
7.
Time.
Yeah. Especially out here, it's like 12 lives in L.A.
Yeah.
I know people don't know that long. People
you guys knew each other before L.A., so maybe that's why, you know? You still have the Texas background or whatever. Were you born in Texas?
Oh, yeah. Houston,
really?
Texas.
Oh, Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I did.
Between the both of us, we have the worst fucking accents ever. You know?
You don't like the accent? I've been told that people really like it when I talk like this.
Yeah.
They like it. You don't like it?
No, but when you do like, what you do? You did like an Israeli accent and it sounded Chinese, and then you did a French accent
okay, first
and it
of
sounded
all,
Russian.
Listen, first of all, here's the thing. I'm great with accents, but I have to be around them to hear them. I'm really just not around a lot of native speaking. I mean, there's a lot of people from Israel here, but not a lot of, I don't know a lot of people that have like, even you don't really have a thick accent.
No, not an Israeli accent.
No, you don't. No. You've been all over the place. So yours is like a freaking mosh posh.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mix or sort
of
a thing.
I don't even know what you are. So
a montage.
A montage, yes.
There you go.
So when I'm just trying to make fun of something quickly, I throw together a hybrid accent that makes no sense just to paint the picture.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's the lamest excuse I ever
heard. No, it's so true. It's like, hey, I'm going to take you back to my cave and you are a healthy girl. And I'm
to say they're not great accents. It's just they're not
accurate
ones.
Well, no. Yeah.
They're from our own made-up country called District 9, apartment Cherimoya 3.
Yeah, they're just like a hybrid, Sam.
Yeah.
So
you grew up in Texas, right? What did you do before you moved here, before you decided to live your dreams?
That is a long story, Sam. I'll make it short.
Okay.
The short end of it is I've had like 10 jobs, you know, and I didn't know what I wanted to do because I didn't really do what I wanted to do, which is come out, do musical theater, sing, act, dance kind of thing, you know. So I was like, oh, I'll do psychology. And so I majored in psychology and then I hated it.
Really?
So I minored in music and I was like, oh, maybe I'll teach music. And so I started subbing at different school districts, and that's when I really got a heart for public schools, and I realized how they're such crap. And that's actually when Columbine happened.
Really?
I was working at my old public school, Clear Creek High School. What? Go Wildcats! And so it was really, really a crazy time to be a part of the schools, and that was kind of neat. And so then I was like, oh, I subbed for my former high school choir, And I was like, ooh, I really like this because it's music.
Right.
And, you know, you're in front of people and you kind of get to have your own show. It's like stand-up comedy every day when you're a teacher. I think that's why some teachers go into teaching, because they like the sound of their voices.
Probably. But, let's be honest.
So I ended up teaching choir for 7 years, and I taught 3 years at a public school and 4 years at a private school. Mm. Shout out to all my former students. Yo. And
Yo.
They're all like, it's crazy because they're all pretty much graduated now. Uh-huh. It's been a while.
Was that high school?
I taught high school, junior high, and then at the private school for like 1 year, I taught first grade through 12th grade, and I thought I was going to, run off a building. And
yeah. I know, teaching is hard, man. It's really hard, you know?
Yeah.
I had a short period where I was a sub, and, it was nothing like what I imagined, you know? It was just, like, terrible, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You taught? I just don't see you.
Yeah. I taught.
I just don't see you
teach.
You guys,
I tried to anyway.
Yeah,
but you know, remember the attitude we all had towards subs and stuff. You know,
like it's F-U, like
you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to learn anything.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So I would end up shouting at everyone, and I was like the policeman there.
Look, I just don't see you giving two shits. I just don't.
Giving two shits about what?
I just see you getting. Yeah, no, not that you don't like kids, but that too. But no, I don't see you getting in there trying to teach a class. I see you getting like flicking your cigarette at them or something.
That's funny.
Really?
I do. I see you in there like trying to read a newspaper, smoking a cigarette and hoping they do.
Actually not. No, I try to teach because that's why I got into it. You know, I thought, wow, you know, I like this. I like this. Let me teach all these things that I learned in college and stuff, you know. So, it just wasn't it at all. You know, I was like a policeman there, have to send people to the office all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it just wasn't fun.
No.
So I got out of it.
Yeah,
the hell. The hell with them, you know? It's a thankless job.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I would get like two notes a year saying, I like you, Miss Prof, my maiden name, or, you know, you're the best, Miss Greer. And I know that they appreciated me in their own way or whatever, but it's like those two notes that carry you through the entire year.
Because
there's always one student that's like real sweet, and they'll stay after class and they like drew a picture for you.
Mm. Aw, like, that's sweet.
Put it in a special drawer, you're like, oh, this is my one note.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, okay, well, we've got a few things going on today. We are going to debate or discuss healthcare.
Or just discuss,
I don't know if it's a debate, really, because I know shit about it.
Yeah, but, well, neither does most people. Well, the thing is ideally we wanted to have a counterpart that would have more of a liberal perspective to kind of extract the issue. But that wasn't able to, we weren't able to really secure that person. So what we thought we'd do is really just kind of discuss it from what we can find on it and kind of bring up, I think for LA, not a very popular opinion, but I think most of it's more popular in other parts of the country.
Yeah. You'd be amazed how many conservatives are here.
I would be amazed, would be very amazed, to be honest. So let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
But also just to really, I mean, I know that this is anything new. Everybody's talking about this. But as I entitled it on our show, I was like, you know, Claire's not an expert, I'm not an expert, you're not an expert, apparently nobody's an expert on this, so why not jump in and get our licks?
Yeah.
And just basically we're just regular citizens that are doing research, and we're starting to see stuff that we are going, what is going on? So the idea is not to be bashing or to, you know, so many people like to complain, and they like to, it's like, well, we're going to complain on the liberal side, or we're going to.
Yeah, she's holding
a piece of chocolate between her fingers.
I can't eat this chocolate because you guys will hear it. And last time I tried to chomp on it, and Sam was like, what the hell are you? So I'm waiting for our break. But anyway, put it down.
It's going to melt in your fingers. Yeah. Just so, let it go.
So basically, I'm getting into it, and I've got the chocolate going. But basically, the idea is we don't really want to make this a complaining session as much as we want to really just stir up the pot and get people thinking and get people to do the research on their own based on what we have. Just here, go look for it yourself. Boom, boom, boom. Because what I'm seeing is that I'm learning about the healthcare bill, and I'm sharing with people. They're going, that's not true. That's so crazy. You're just so sensationalist. And I'm going, no, freaking go look it up.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what this is about, is like this, there's stuff going on, and people just, it sounds so far-fetched, so people just think it's sensationalized or something.
Yeah.
And we're going, no, go look it up. This is time to, like, you go and run with it. So we're not really telling people what to think as much as we're bringing up one side of it, and then we'll do maybe another time where we bring, you know, have somebody else on that, you know, can extract it.
I think one show is enough for me.
Or, you know, Sam's already, Sam's like, are there boobs like, involved? Are there
about
boobs
to have
involved?
A tipping point right now.
I already brought a book to read if I get bored. And stuff.
You are not going to do that. You're not going to do that, Sam. You're going to be interested in this.
Yeah. But so like, before that, though, we're waiting for a guest to call, and she's going to have a new show on the station. We're going to talk to her.
Oh, the intervention. What is
intuitive.
It? Intuitive is a new the new hip word for psychic?
For psychic or something like that. No, I think there's like degrees of
being
psychic.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe she'll let us know
how
that works.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
We have several of them on the station, actually.
Cool.
They have very popular shows because people like to ask them questions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll ask questions,
and I've
too,
heard being
know?
A psychic's like really in right now.
Yeah.
I get
it is, you
accosted.
Know, you get to see a lot of it on the radio.
Yeah, you. What do you mean you get accosted?
No, like at different stores, people come up to me and they're, I feel this in you, and they'll grab my hand and try
really?
To give me their card. Yeah, I don't know if it's just me, if I have like special energy that says, give me your card, I need to teach you something. I don't know. Yeah.
I've had that too. I've had people be like, your aura.
Yeah.
Your aura. Yeah, but it's, you know, everybody's coming from their own place, so I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's describe Claire to the audience who want to know what we are sitting in front of. Excuse me.
I tried to pop up.
The teacher's coming out of Sam. He's like, hey.
No, you can eat as much chocolate as you want. As long as it keeps you happy, that's all that matters.
She's
okay?
getting the chocolate
I'm going to turn up
now.
Your mic so we can hear it. They're chewing.
Mmm, chocolatey. My cramps are going away as we speak.
And chocolate is as much about the texture as it is about the taste.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm. Actually, that was really freaking good.
Yeah?
Well, it's just hitting the spot. Good. It's hitting the spot.
What is it, like an Easter egg or something?
It's a little freaking Easter egg. You know, these things are like 2 cents a piece.
Yeah.
It's kind of crappy chocolate, but it's good. It's good crappy chocolate.
Okay. You see, she picks up chocolate here for free, and she's saying it's crap.
No, I'm just explaining explaining to people, you know, that know their chocolate that it's that good, real sugary, kind of quick to your bloodstream type chocolate. There's no gourmet factor going on. It's just give me it. It's like crack.
It's not special LA chocolate.
Not Godiva or anything like that.
Yeah, or Lentz. I love Lentz.
Yeah, Lentz is amazing. We were talking about it, right? The ball ones, you know?
Oh, man. Those
aren't
are good.
They something?
Balls in my mouth.
Yes, balls in my mouth.
Chocolate balls.
As opposed to a ball sack? Is that
Sam.
Let's not talk about the coin purse.
Hey, she went there.
I know. But it's part of guys' anatomy, so they just, to them, it's normal, but we still look at it go, yeah. Like, we don't want to know you've got a sack where your balls hang out.
Hey, speak for yourself, okay?
No, but seriously, like your wife is like, yeah, let me see your ball sack. Yeah, I mean, I don't see women... Hey, give me a flash of that sack. So nasty.
Well, I think you don't talk enough with women about these things because and some of them you seem to be very naive about these things.
Me?
Yes, you.
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, a lot of women love balls.
You are smoking crack or something. Tell me a woman that's like, oh man.
I'll find you a lot of women
like,
that
like
balls.
Oh man, I want me some balls. Just like, jiggly, jiggly,
jiggly, exactly. They lick them and everything.
Ew.
You see, that's what I mean.
No, I'm telling
that's
you something.
That's what I mean. You haven't
listen,
been around the
maybe
block.
Maybe she hasn't had a good ball sack experience.
Listen, this is what I'm saying, Sam.
Yes.
Girls that are like, oh man, I just love it, get ball sack in me. Girls that are like that, I'm not saying all girls, but I'm saying most women are doing it because they get turned on and they get off by turning a man on and tantalizing a man.
Right.
So sometimes they do it as a engineered kind of pre-programmed intention to get a certain response. And it's a lot of times women do that stuff because they know that men are – it's not really natural. I'm not saying that's not natural. Like if you're in love and you're married and you guys want to lick each other's freaking butt cracks and stuff, have fun. It's your bodies and it's celebrating your bodies. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, you know, somebody that – they do it because they love you and they are so attracted to you. But just to isolate the butt crack or ball sack – I'm sorry, people that listen at home. I know my Texas folk. I told you guys it wasn't a family-friendly show. Whatever. Don't get mad at me. Stop talking to me. I'm trying to talk about ball sacks. My point is that – if you want to go to town tossing some salad, do you know what that is?
Of course.
I just found that out.
Really?
What is tossing salad?
See?
Yeah.
Urban
That's
Dictionary?
Given what they call analingus, I think, right?
What?
Yes.
What is this called? What is there's
analingus.
What is analingus?
It's like cunnilingus, but to the butthole.
What is cunnilingus?
You don't know what cunnilingus
Sounds
is?
Sounds like a type of beef to get it
Excuse me.
Oh.
Cunnilingus is oral sex on a woman.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what oral sex on a woman is.
Okay.
But
what about fellatio? Do you know what that is? That's a blowjob.
Oh, why do we put all these? Why are there all these like scientific words for it? Okay.
Because there are.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about oral sex on a woman.
Right.
Doing it on the butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Or for a guy too. Usually a woman doing it on a guy.
Do you realize that that's where you take a crap?
Yeah. You know what? It's so disgusting. I don't even want to talk about it.
Do you do this stuff?
I mean, I'm like totally anti like anything that comes out of the back, you know?
Okay, but do you guys go to town on that?
Never.
Never.
Okay, never. No. Nobody comes even close.
So you're not like
No tossing salads for me. I'll take a Caesar one anyway.
Well, do you know what? I was in Texas and I was with some girlfriends of mine, all these like super sweet Christian girls, they're all married up and stuff, and I'm sitting there and these girls knew their stuff, and the little Christian married women, and one girl was like, we're having girl talk, she's like my husband tosses my salad.
she goes
my husband tosses my salad and I like it.
I was like
what does that mean? I thought it was frontal, because I don't know why they would call it salad, but that just makes me think of debris, and that makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Well, I just learned about snorkeling this past week.
You guys are gonna have to look it up on Urban Dictionary. What is it?
Snorkeling is close to a Roman helmet.
I don't know about
Roman helmets.
Okay, you tell her what it is. Snorkeling.
Well, I don't know if I remember properly, Sam. Help me out. I just learned this.
Yeah.
It's something like going down and on a woman and
no, it's actually putting your balls on her face.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what snorkeling is?
Yeah.
I read the wrong thing.
And it's like, you know, and then the penis goes around the mouth and that's like snorkeling.
Ew.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, you're not up on all these things.
Am I really missing out? Do I need a good snorkel to go, oh, I checked that off my bucket list. I can say I've snorkeled. No, I want to go to the freaking Hawaii and snorkel. That's what I want to check off my list. I don't want to be like, I just don't need that. Like, really, am I missing out? Because I don't know. I know.
You're not missing out.
And there's a couple of these. Not. And I got to tell you, like, I'm not trying to play the gender card, but the reality is that women aren't the ones sitting around making up names for this shit.
Absolutely.
It's totally men that start snorkeling and on salad tossing and stuff like that. And then we just kind of laugh about
it and
just
play along.
But I hear about all these things. I'm like, who has that much time on their hands that they're like, ooh, like, you know, freaking, you know, Cirque du Soleil third. Do you know what a Cirque du Soleil is? I'm like, yeah, it's a show in Las Vegas. They're like, not anymore. I'm just like, I don't need to. Am I really missing out?
No.
And every time I hear about what it is, I'm like, okay, put that on my not-to-do list.
Yeah.
Yeah, not because I'm frigid.
So you're very straight missionary, down to earth.
I think here's what I want to say. Mm-hmm. I feel as though what people are trying to sometimes... Okay, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you can't be adventurous or anything like that. Mm-hmm. However, what people are generally trying to achieve in these crazy, so far off the beaten path type acts are usually a sensation and experience. They're trying to get some kind of rush. Whereas if you're still just connected to your partner and your own sexuality and deeply, it can still be exciting to just to barely touch each other. I mean, and I'm not saying you don't get adventurous. I'm just saying that there is, I've been so attracted and had a chemistry with somebody where we're just hugging and it's like my face is red. Everything's just so intense.
Yeah, intimacy.
And yeah, there's intimacy there. And I think that that's what's sometimes real intimacy is lacking. Mm-hmm. And so people start going, well, hey, let's try it this time. Let's skydive and let's do an underwater thing. What? You're trying to not, like, you don't want to be adventurous and sex? You're frigid? You're like, I'm sorry, I don't want to do it on a live tiger. I'm sorry.
But you see, you're talking about two extremes. There's
it's
a lot
called
in the
hyperbole.
Middle, you know?
A hyperbole to
hyperbole.
To make a point. My point is I'm not saying you don't get adventurous. I'm just saying it goes to these places that you're like, is it even about the person anymore?
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, a lot of this stuff is gross or maybe not conventional, but people get into it.
People can do whatever they want. A lot of them,
exactly.
I'm just saying, I'm not the freaking thought
police.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that they don't have any intimacy, you know? They just
I'm not saying that they don't not have any intimacy, Sam Bone. What I am saying is that they, at times, maybe it's, they're thinking they're going to have this, maybe sometimes other stuff's lacking and they go off the charts because they're looking for something that they're not going to find there.
Okay.
That's my point.
All right.
Done. I won.
All right. And Sambone is my porn name, by the way.
Oh,
Anyway, listen, our guest is calling, so let's go ahead and take this call, and then we'll get into the healthcare issue and so forth.
Okay.
Good morning. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Sam. It's Rachel Gordon.
Hello, Rachel. Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually glad I came in on the conversation at this end when, and I just came in on the conversation a little bit. I just turned the show on to hear us settle into the dynamic of really just being excited about being with a partner and not having to go through all sorts of contortions in order to meet the
need. Thank you.
There you go.
Can I get a what from my psychic girlfriend?
She's a woman. What do you expect her to say?
God, she's intuitive.
Yes. You know, it's funny, and also some point that she made about the sensationalism. You know, sometimes it's exciting to push the envelope, but sometimes you just rip that envelope apart and there's
good
nothing
point.
Left. So, you know, it's sometimes less is more.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you. I like that point. See, look at her.
Yeah.
Where
you
are you hitting it off?
Yeah. You know, she's got a head on her shoulders. Now, Rachel, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Jupiter, Florida.
Uh-huh. What?
Never heard of that.
No, isn't it like a beautiful island?
Well, there is an island aspect to it, and I am on the mainland.
Uh-huh.
But yes, Jupiter has Jupiter Island, and it also has the coastal part.
Wow.
And yes, I'm very, very, very grateful to be here.
I'm about to say, you're living the high life, huh? You probably got a Mai Tai in your hand right now, and a palm tree.
Please tell us you do.
And you know you got a pet tiger.
I've certainly got the, it's too early for the other, but I've got the palm trees, absolutely. The
way
weather's beautiful, and I feel very fortunate.
So how did you wind up there? Were you born there? Did you grow up there?
No, I grew up in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually lived in several different states in the United States, and I just moved from Iowa.
Oh,
wow. I was in Iowa
for
15 years.
You traded up big time.
Yeah. Yes, what a change. Huh?
Good job.
Yeah. Yes, it was, you know, it was just time to get back to the coast. That's, you know, there's nothing like the seashore. There's nothing like sunshine and warmth to kind of generate that feeling inside, which really I was ready for.
Right.
So
that's awesome. So when did you move there? Is that like a few years ago?
No, just moved in August.
Oh, in August.
Mm. Yes, it's a brand new fit for me.
Yeah.
Are you making a lot of friends, or did you already have friends down there?
No, we didn't actually, and we got here because of just good public schools in this particular area.
Okay.
I wanted something that was good for my children and good for the family, and just it kind of was very serendipitous. It all came together beautifully using my intuitive gift, and but it actually has been really quite a positive.
Well, it must have been
everybody's happy.
Yeah, it must have been something intuitive, because how do you wind up in a place like Jupiter, Florida? That, you know, I never heard of it.
Really?
And I can understand people saying, okay, I moved to New York, I moved to L.A., I moved to Chicago, but usually to a small town. I'm sorry, I'm like coughing.
You know,
by the way, I got
to
tell you that on the plane, in the row in front of me, this woman was sniffling the whole time, sneezing, coughing.
Yeah, hacking away.
Yeah, and I told my wife, I said, you know, it's like every time I get on a plane, I end up being sick a few days later. And sure enough, you know, I've got sore throat.
I have to tell you, I take Airborne.
Oh, that medicine, right?
It's like a tablet, like a, you know, a vitamin tablet. Mm-hmm. You put it in water and you just drink it.
Yeah, really?
When you get
it works?
You haven't heard of
it? It has worked, because I travel a lot.
I've heard of Airborne,
but
I did.
It does work.
Oh, if it doesn't work, then maybe I should try. But isn't it too late now? Aren't you supposed to have it before you get sick?
It doesn't hurt to take it. I think it's more for preventative, and it, like she said,
it's a preventative. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it kind of girds me for the trip, so that everyone hacking around me, it's sort of like having a little vitamin shield to keep it, my immune system up and ready to just battle it, so that it doesn't settle into my cells.
There you go.
Because the moment I think, oh God, it's landed, then I start having symptoms. So I just keep it up with the Airborne or something like that.
Yeah. We're getting a noisy line here all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
A little bit of a feedback.
I wanted to ask you, okay, so Rachel, we wanted to welcome you to the station. You've got a brand new radio show, and it's starting tomorrow at 12 noon Pacific time, right?
Yes,
so,
it is.
So it's 12 noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. And,
yes.
So
I like to also say 8 o'clock in Europe.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
So that everyone can listen.
There you go. We reach everywhere for sure. And so tell us a little bit about the show. What is it that you plan to do with it?
Well, I guess one thing about being an intuitive is I've learned not to plan much of anything, because basically when I just sort of sit down and go to do something, I connect with the energy of what I'm doing, and it kind of reveals itself on the direction to go. But I would say that mostly the show is about offering a different view, an intuitive view, a view that's sort of outside the box and not limited by shoulds and standards, etc. And exploring different topics that we all live and breathe from a perspective that may give a little bit of a twist to how we choose to lead our lives.
Right.
Maybe throw something off in a way, maybe add something to it, maybe, you know, the light bulb goes off and go, gosh, that's why I keep repeating the same pattern over and over again. Let's get rid of it.
Right.
So I don't really have an agenda other than to be present and offer hopefully very interesting commentary, and certainly welcome phone calls. People can have their personal questions associated with the topic. We just go from there.
Let me ask you, just for clarification, because I'm just going to take the ignorant stance. You can get away with a lot with that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means. So, no, but seriously, what does it mean when you say either you're an intuitive? Are you saying that you're in tune with your intuition that's within all of us, and you're kind of helping to educate and help people get in touch with that? Or are you saying it's a special, unique skill that you have that is unique to you? Or what does that mean?
Well, I do believe that everyone has an aspect of intuitive ability.
Okay.
Some of us are more developed than others just because.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that people can't develop their intuition. It is like a muscle that just, as soon as you exercise and have more faith in your ability, you start to do it more naturally. When I say I'm an intuitive, I have an ability to experience beyond time, you know, past, present, future time dimensions. So I'm not limited by geography. I'm not limited by seeing somebody. Mm. Most of my clientele is over the phone.
Oh, cool.
And I've never met them. And so I basically connect with the energy of the soul of one person as an individual or a whole group, like when I teach.
Right.
It's simply just coming into the presence of that group and just being silent for a moment, and then knowing where to go with it, because the information just starts coming to me as how best to serve, what best to offer in that moment.
Right. Mm. So what's the difference between an intuitive and a psychic? We were trying to figure that out before.
Yeah.
I don't know that there really is one, except that the word psychic has been bastardized so much. I mean, there's so much comedy around it. And there's such an image about psychics that intuitive, in my experience, has been a gentler way, a less threatening and less comical or caricaturistic way of talking about the same gift.
Right. Well, okay, so now we know. Now we know.
Yes.
We're not going to debate that anymore. Okay.
And I'll say this, you know, a lot of people can have an ability to perceive beyond time and space. But if they haven't done their own personal work, there's going to be some form of distortion in how they give the information.
Right.
So, you know, it may be that, you know, there are so many people out there that are truly gifted as intuitives, and there are some that are just better actors or actresses, and I think it's really important for people to take a moment to consider who they're seeking information from.
Right. Hmm. And how would you know the difference? How would you know if someone is just pretending to be?
Yeah.
I think it's an internal feeling. Mm-hmm. I think internally, if someone is listening to somebody say something, it will land true to the listener.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It'll like ring home.
It'll ring. And I do believe that when there is that information transmitted or, you know, transferred in that intuitive channel, in that conversation, in that speaking,
right,
that there is a shift going on, that there is a connection and an opportunity for change.
Right.
It's really about facilitating something moving, shifting, opening, awakening.
Right.
Hmm.
So, I mean, what is, you're saying beyond dimension of time and space, what does that mean?
Okay.
We're like, well, break it down this, for us like we are too.
No, no, in this dimension, we look at time in terms of the past was in the past, we're in the present, the future is a timeline. And outside of this dimension, the time all exists all at the same time. It's sort of this one channel of time, and it intermingles and folds in on itself.
Right.
Wow.
At least that's my experience. And so when I am connecting to someone or receiving information, time isn't an issue for me. Everything's happening in the now, and so it's about me offering the information. And typically, you know, for a lot of people, there's individual issues. But there is really a universal thread that runs through the experience of all of humanity. And so it's actually very neat to be able to experience that, because on the one hand, we may have our individual differences, or we think we do.
Right.
But a lot of times through the intuitive view, we are pretty similar, and the pulse is the same.
Hmm.
The very essence is the same.
Wow.
And then we have all these layers that we put on ourselves, all of these layers of who we are and what we want to do and what we've been and, you know, what we've experienced and what we want to project. And that's what sort of creates our individual and unique personality,
right,
and sometimes creates our own prison.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, I mean, so much of what you're saying right now, it sounds nothing like anything psychic. I mean, not that it's not to diminish or anything, but
right.
I'm just processing it going, it sounds very similar to a very therapeutic kind of healing process.
Absolutely.
And I'm a Christian, and I believe in the Bible, and I believe in Christian spirituality. Not so much the religious aspect, but the spirit of God. And not to muddy the waters or to make something that's not, but I do like to see common threads, like you said, and,
mm-hmm.
and just to see
mm-hmm.
where does it touch and where does it not touch, or what I can
mm-hmm.
see. And it sounds similar to kind of getting to the heart of matters, getting
yes.
to the real common bonds and the real obstructions and like just the real root of things.
That's the essence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's very, very interesting. It sounds like do you get a lot of people that it's not about, hey, tell me who I'm going to marry. It's more like I'm in this part of my life right now and they need guidance, or
well, you know, it's everything.
Okay.
People typically people typically come to me because at some point in their life, what they thought would work, what other people said would work, hasn't worked.
Mm,
and
right.
so they're looking for a deeper understanding, another approach, some validation to the sense they're getting. And I don't know exactly what they're coming to me with, because
mm-hmm.
initially in a session, I don't even ask them any questions. I just go into a prayer silently,
mm-hmm.
kind of just
wow.
sort of keeping, just to connect and protect. And then I receive an imprint, an energetic imprint that tells me what's going on at the soul level for this person. So
mm-hmm.
I begin talking to them before they even ask anything.
Yeah.
And so I mirror back to them the experience of what's happening in their life based on that soul imprint, that energetic imprint.
Right.
And at that point, at some point when I've explained that, then we start the sessions where they begin their asking questions. And only at that point do we look at the little things, the individual things, the people. Like, you know, people can ask questions about people there, and I only need a first name.
Right.
When and with the permission of the spirit of the person they're asking about, I can go into the energy of that person, describe who I have, and then they can ask questions about the relationship while I'm in that energy.
Right.
And so it's those individual things that people first want to start with, but ultimately it's always going to go back to the heart of and the essence of them, who they are, and how authentic they're being within their life.
Right.
Okay. That's really
okay,
interesting.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
When did you realize you had this?
Well, I knew I had something when I started speaking as a child, because the reactions of people were, I think, more surprised, or where did you how do you know that, or where did you see that?
Where did that come from?
It was more... Pardon?
I said, yeah, where did that come from, you know?
Yes, exactly. And so it was actually a little terrifying as a child, because I, as a child would, just assumed everyone was perceiving the world the way I was. And so I discovered I was, you know, quote-unquote different as soon as I could communicate what I was experiencing. Right. And then it shut down. I went into school, and that just was overwhelming, you know. And it shut down for a while, and then after my grandfather died, we were very close, and it just reactivated. In his crossing over, he connected with me, and it just opened it up again. And through focus and practice and silence and meditation and being in the presence of really profound teachers, I came to understand the ability more, and then sought to serve in this way, you know, right. to really make this a soul-level process where what I can offer a person is about making that slight change or understanding the obstacle that's keeping them from their joy and happiness, from their success, from their prosperity, from their health.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's going to tell people when and how they're going to die.
Yeah, it doesn't
I'm not going
like
to be giving the lottery number. But I may talk about who they meet and when they marry, because that's the information that comes through based on their questions.
Oh.
But it's not a sensational. It's not a sensational.
Yeah.
I appreciate that
practice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It sounds like
Well,
it just sounds like your heart's really in it. I'm not saying I completely understand it, I'll be honest, but I definitely can sense that your heart is in it and that you have a real love for people. And I think that really comes across. And I think that
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it sounds like you're about, is authenticity and really, like you said, serving. And I think serving is the key word. It's not about, you know, the whole circus act. It's about, you know, how can you really serve them? So I respect that.
Well, that sounds very interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to the show. We're talking to Rachel Gordon, of course. The show is The Intuitive View, and that's on tomorrow, Thursday, at 12 noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. Rachel, thank you so much for your time.
And Rachel, thank you, Sam. Thank you both. Thank you all. Actually, there are three of you.
There are three of us in here.
So,
now.
Rachel, if I make it down to Jupiter, I'm going to come visit.
Well, you have to make sure you call me and let me know.
Oh,
I mean, though I'm intuitive.
I'm going to be in the area and be like, can you feel me out? Am I hot? Am I cold? No, I'm not talking for a session. We'll have a margarita or something. Okay, how's that sound?
I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, all of you, and I look forward to connecting with you again.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Rachel.
Congratulations on the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, she's got a great energy. Like, seriously, I feel... I'm like, I don't know, I don't mean to sound weird, but because I'm Christian too, but I really get into energies.
Right.
And my younger sister's really into energies. She's really into the Native American culture.
Really?
And into indigenous.
Her sister's pretty cool.
My sister's super cool. She just popped out a kid.
Yeah.
Named Zoe. Zoe Kulani. Oh, I miss her. Anyways, like, it's just really, we talk about energies a lot, and I really just, oh my God, I feel like an amazing energy from Rachel just
I did too.
Talking to her. That's really
awesome.
Neat.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder what semantics, I mean, because with when you're in the Bible, it talks about the Holy Spirit and flowing in the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and really using, not using, but kind of being still enough to tap into God's presence and God's interests and kind of where he is and his love for people. And that takes time. That takes humbling yourself and kind of picking up on things. And I try to see that, where are we connecting the dots? And I'm not saying it's the exact same thing, but I'm seeing some similarities.
So. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that seems to be... I mean, I'm fascinated with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Who
I mean,
isn't?
Because, you know, look at Sam Bone right there. Look at
Sam Bone.
Sam has just got... Sam's got
that
a
nickname.
Sweet...
Sam Big Bone.
Whatever. No, we're not turning it dirty. He has got the sweetest...
It's already dirty.
No, it's not. Sam Bone got to walk over. Sam Bone got to walk over. Sam Bone... I just think you have...
Oh, my God. I need a break from you.
You look like a happy, sweet guy.
I think, Sam, you should just travel with the mask.
Laugh. Yeah, I can't laugh because I cough, you know?
Oh, I hate that. That sucks.
Yeah, hopefully I'll feel better tomorrow if this doesn't get worse, because the last time I was sick, it lasted for 2 weeks.
No, double up the airborne Zycam, vitamins.
Yeah, attack it from all directions. Huh?
Yeah, well, you know.
Sounds good. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Okay, and that was Claire, of course, who doesn't know to shut up until we start.
That's funny. It's very hard. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
So for those of you joining us, we have Claire in the studio, and she's Kara's roommate and a good friend.
Oh, yeah.
And she's ready to discuss the health bill or the healthcare bill.
Healthcare.
Which is a law now. It's not a bill anymore.
Actually, it's not a law yet. It still has to pass, right?
Well, Obama signed it yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
What the F? Wait a second.
He did. He signed it. Yeah.
I thought it's got to go to the Senate now.
It already did.
Are you kidding?
It went a lot faster than I thought. I was disappointed.
I mean, not to
obviously expose... you're not prepared
Listen,
for the discussion.
Obviously, they freaking did a sneak attack.
They did a sneak attack on Sunday night. I was like on vacation skiing, and
did you guys know?
Yeah. How
skiing?
Dare you?
How dare you up there in Washington Beltway try to pass a bell when I'm on a ski trip?
We're gonna have some issues, guys. Okay, Claire, just jump in.
Okay.
What we're talking about, guys, the healthcare bill, is it really good for your health? We're going to bring up different points. Again, the spirit of this isn't to bash, but it's really to stir up the pot and get people to kind of get activated. And if you agree or don't agree, please feel free to call in. And the phone number is, I've got it right here, it is 323-203-0815. And Claire, is the healthcare bill good for your health? Your health, yes or no, and first top three reasons. Whatever.
Okay, well, okay. So I'm
first. We should preface it by saying you are a conservative, right?
Well, yes. I am conservative. I think in a lot of ways by nature, but in a lot of ways I'm not conservative. I mean, my liberal friends are. Hello, I'm married and I have two roommates.
Yeah.
And my husband travels every week. I mean, there's a lot of unconventional things.
Extremely.
Right.
Extremely unconventional.
But politically, though.
But politically, I mean, definitely straight across the board. Mm-hmm. I just believe in small government. I believe in the freedom of the people being protected. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think we should allow the private sector to grow. We should allow people to have choices and not just say, okay, government's going to take care of everything for you. Mm-hmm. And basically what it boils down to, in my opinion, is when I was thinking about it, is how do you view government and how do you view our country as a whole? Mm-hmm. You know, are we the bad guy that needs to be punished because we've been number one so long that now it's time for us to go down, you know? Or do you still view America as exceptional and a great place to live and the American dream and the American ideal? Mm-hmm. You know, and do you view your government as the sole provider for everything for you? Are you looking to them to provide? Or do you see them as somebody who's to protect your freedoms so that you can pursue life, liberty, and happiness?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the things we're founded on.
Yeah, I think that those are really great points because it does. I think that when you're discussing the things we're about to get into, it really gets to the heart of what you think the government's here to do. Is the government here to protect you or to provide for you? And I think that it really does. We have to kind of isolate those two aspects that people need to kind of to look at themselves. And so I think that's a really great, great point to bring
And
up.
You summed up the conservative point of view pretty well, I think. So,
okay,
so there we go. Okay, so back to Kara's question that I so rudely interrupted. What did you ask?
What was my question?
Oh, it's
the
healthcare.
The first one, yeah.
No,
we
so
are
my
talking
so,
about healthcare.
Yeah, so we're going into this again. I want people to understand what we're saying, and I put this on the thing is healthcare bill, is it good for your health? First question. We're not experts, but apparently nobody is. Yeah. We're just regular citizens that are doing some research and seeing what's going on, and that's
concerned
what this is about.
Concerned for our country.
Concerned for the country, and so here, you know, take it away, Claire. Is it good for the? Take it away, Claire.
Ride my pony.
She sounds like Sean Hannity or something. Take it away.
No, so my point is Claire, you know.
You know, I really get it. It's so funny. I think I started with pageants, like starting to pay attention to things. And then, I don't know, the more like public school, when I got in the public school system, you know, you just start paying attention to things a little bit more and like who's running stuff and why are things the way they are. Mm-hmm. And you start looking at the things that the government runs. And honestly, I just don't see them running very many things very well. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them to take care of me. I'm like, who in the government has a medical degree? Do they really know how to read an x-ray? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, why do we want them to be in charge of so many things? And I think it's just, it comes from a lot of things. It comes from a lack of a personal responsibility. People, like, don't want to think about it. And last night I got online. I mean, I have a stack of information here. And we probably won't even get to it. But, you know, whatever comes up in conversation, I'll be able to use.
Right.
But the thing that I found is I could Bing it. I could Google it. Mm-hmm. And I could get a lot of information about all kinds of stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you know what I couldn't find is what is the healthcare bill?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, I'm talking to friends of mine that are very liberal, right? That are starting to go, wait a minute. I have friends of mine that are very Democratic and they're going, I'm not, my friend last night, he goes, or Matt and Krista, they were like, I tried to Google it, couldn't find it. I tried all over. They're like, what is it? Right. Where is it? And for something that is going to reshape so much of our country, people don't have any clue. Yeah. Why are we not informed? Why is it not just, is it out there and we're just not looking for it? Or is it people are looking for it and they can't find it? Mm. And yeah. I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is another point we're going to get to, is, first of all, why can't people read it and find it? And why is it already passed when it hasn't been fully written?
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Well, yeah. And I wish I had. I don't know, like, all of the Senate laws, but who knows the rules of the House? I mean, who really knows all those rules? But the thing is that they aren't following them from what I understand. I mean, to pass something on a Sunday night or a Sunday afternoon, it just pisses me off. It's so like you are elected to be the voice of the people. You're not elected to put your own opinions out there and shove it down our throats. That's how I feel.
Right. But what does it matter when they signed it, though?
Because you're doing it when it's a weekend for freaking sakes. And so people aren't even paying attention. People are freaking, you know, skiing in Lake Tahoe like this one over here. And right. The reality is it's kind of suggests that there's a sneaky element to it because you're not doing it when everybody's alert and everybody's paying attention to it. Number one, you can't find it on the internet anywhere.
No, but everybody knew it was going to be signed. You know, it was passed.
Did everybody
before
know? That. No. And a lot of people didn't know.
No, I mean, if it passes, then it gets signed. You know, I mean, it goes without saying.
Well, yeah, that part as far as how
so
it passed.
It's just a formality, you know, but the point is...
No, but it's disrespectful to not freaking make this clear and accessible is what I'm trying to say. It's not serving the American people to make it as clear. I think the people that did know about it were a little bit people that are a little bit more plugged into the political community, and I think a lot of people were going like, you know.
Yeah, but maybe they figured Sunday night everybody's home, you know? I mean, you never, you know.
Come on.
Oh, not in L.A.
Nobody's home. So, you talked about how a lot of government-run programs, it's like, you don't want to go to the DMV, do you, Sam?
No, I don't.
That's my point.
What else is government-run? You know.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. For me personally, the
federal building. I mean, try to get a passport. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And now we're taking healthcare to that place.
Well, I still look at the public schools because I'm such a product of it, you know, and also I worked in it for so many years, even though I was at a private school. But it's just, you look at the public school system and it's gone to shit. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad now substitute teaches. He used to be a rocket scientist, and now he
really?
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. He worked for NASA for years and years and did all that kind of cool jazz, but now he's trying to teach chemistry at these different public schools, and he's actually a long-term sub right now, but he was telling me how these kids are on drugs. Like, and the thing is, we all know this, because you hear about it every day on the news, but he's, like, really living it out, and this is a public school that really should be pretty nice. You know what I mean? It's not in that trashy of an area.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not like, super ghetto.
The drugs invaded everything and everywhere. You know?
I'm like, why?
Well, let's get back to... I just want to kind of bring it back to this bill.
Yeah.
We wanted to illustrate public-run things that are done by the government and how they're not the first thing you go to. It's the last resort, right, if you have to. A lot of things with this bill, and I'm going to jump into what I do know about it. Feel free, Claire and Sam.
Okay.
But something that I'm realizing is they keep calling it public option, right? And they're calling
the
public option. They're calling it single payer.
Because the government will be the single payer of your health care.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And so what happens is if you... Okay, or I or somebody else decides, look, I want my own healthcare provider. I want my own doctor. I want to do it the way that I want to do it, and I'm willing to pay for it this way.
Right.
You now not only have to pay for it, you actually are penalized financially, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what I was reading last night is how it's not going to really be implemented for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
But you know what will be? This is hilarious. If I could find it in here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I read something about 2014 or something. Some of it's going to go into effect.
Well, the reason why they're doing it little by little is so that people don't notice it as much. You know what I'm saying? Like, but here's the first thing. This was like the top of Bloomberg.com. Healthcare overhaul changes that are going to take effect this year. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's important for LA people to hear. Mm-hmm. Entertaining salons will charge customers a 10% tax beginning today, and just one of the changes Americans will see as a result of the U.S. healthcare overhaul signed by Obama. Mm-hmm. Isn't that hilarious?
Okay, we need to stop for a second. We need to stop for a second because people don't understand this. There's a great quote by a great president that wasn't me, and I can't remember, but he says, do not trust a government that says they can provide for your health, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, why is that important? Because when the government starts controlling the medical, you know, the medical arena. They have all of your information on your health, and they can start over time putting restrictions or, you know, taxes or, you know, roadblocks on your lifestyle and the kind of job that you have and what you're qualified to take and not take. People need to understand, this isn't about, hey, our healthcare system's perfect and we think it should stay as is. Right. We're talking about the healthcare bill that they are presenting and why it's not about, reformation or building upon something that's already great and reforming it. This is about healthcare takeover.
Right.
And people need to understand that this is more about controlling your rights versus really providing for you. And it's going to happen subtly. It's going to happen over time. And it's not about, nothing is free. When you hear free healthcare, it's not free. And this bill is going to cost somewhere around $940 billion, so almost $1 trillion.
Almost a trillion.
And they're trying to have it funded by who? The taxpayers. So, which gets me to my next point. We're looking around, I don't have my math completely correct, but it's around $2,000 to $3,000 a year per American for healthcare.
Yeah.
And what we're going to have to pay. So if you're young and you don't want to have healthcare and you're somebody that, like, when we worked at Starbucks,
we always opted out.
We didn't want to pay 100 something bucks a month for
same with teaching. I always took plan C, which is I don't pay nothing. I was like, I don't need your benefits because I'm healthy.
Yeah. she was like, I don't want to pay healthcare. And now if you opt out of it, you're going to be fined. It's around $2,000 or 1% of your income,
mm-hmm.
whichever's higher.
Right.
Okay, which is ridiculous. And
I think it's unconstitutional. And I think that's why some of the states, from what I read, I think there's 13 states that are going to sue the government, which I found really interesting because there were the original 13 colonies that, you know, didn't agree with King George III and said, hey,
that's funny.
We don't want to be a part of you anymore.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it being, it's taxation without representation, right? It's saying you have to buy this, where the American people don't want this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they really don't want this. This isn't the overwhelming, that's why this is alarming, is because people are being forced into something that the majority of people don't want it.
Are we a representative republic still? Is democracy still alive? That's the questions that we're facing.
Now my biggest question is this. What do we do about people, about the millions that cannot afford health care?
Okay. It's called Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Medicaid. We already have that right now. The government is already the largest insurance company out there. It's called Medicaid. My sister used Medicaid to have her baby because they're, you know, they work for the church. Like, her husband's
low income, kind of.
Well, it's not even low income. I mean, it's just they don't have, like, a insurance provider or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they did Medicaid, and it worked great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, thank you for that. But it's just, it's already running low. Like, Medicaid is already underfunded and blah, blah, blah. And so now we're going to...
But still, you have many people that cannot get health care.
Listen,
even with Medicaid. And
but what we want to address here, Sam, is you're... No, listen.
She's not letting Sam.
No, finish. No. But here's
what
I'm saying.
He's like the only opposite opinion.
I know.
Yeah,
no,
I'm used to it already.
No, whatever. No, I want you to understand, because I said this before. We're not saying that our existing healthcare doesn't need any improvement. I'm with you that maybe we need to work on this and include more people and make it more affordable and digestible. Absolutely. But our question today is this bill that, because this, what you're asking right now is the same question is that got a lot of people on board with this.
Right.
And they've been led astray. Mm-hmm. I really believe that people emotionally and have subtly been led astray because they're thinking, the insurance too high. A lot of people aren't getting care. I like this. I like the idea of this. But then when you look at this, it's not what you're talking about.
Right.
And
it's something different.
Yeah. I mean, it's, for example, it's more about control. Mm-hmm. If somebody decides they want it, first of all, Fourth Amendment and the Bill of Rights, Fourth Amendment.
I have it right here.
Okay, please do. Read it.
I printed out the Bill of Rights just because I wanted it. But it says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against the unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrants issued, blah, blah, upon probable cause, supported by oath, affirmation, you know, particularly describing the place to be searched. Okay, this is like the original language, so it's not easy to digest. But basically, I mean,
it's saying
the government,
you have the right to basically choose what you're, like, who you're going to buy from, and you have the right to make those kind of purchases, and basically the government's infringing upon your right
personal
to
freedom.
your personal freedom of who you're going to have as a doctor, what kind of plan you're going to have as a doctor. You're going to be penalized for that if you decide to do that. That's unconstitutional, and it's not the American way.
Yeah, but they're going to give you a list of doctors you can choose from, right? It's not like one specific doctor you'd have to go to. I mean, the thing is this, is that national health care does work in many countries. Why do you think it won't work here?
Does it really work?
It does.
How does it really work?
It really does in many countries. What do you mean, how does it work?
First of all, we've been compared to Canada.
People have their deliveries paid for.
People have that here, too. Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing.
My sister did.
Yeah, Canada is the whole population.
Who helped her with the pregnancy?
She had Medicare.
She had Medicaid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was.
And how do you get Medicaid if you don't make enough money?
Yeah. Well, because there's lots. Honestly, I didn't fill out the paperwork for her, but I know that because of being part of like the clergy, and most clergy don't, you know, have health care. Mm-hmm. So she got Medicaid. I mean, that's what a lot of people who work for any kind of a church do, because most churches don't provide health care.
Right.
You know.
But it's also for people with low income, and it also is it's not that it's a perfect system, and it's not to say that our system is perfect, because it's not. But one thing people aren't understanding, or maybe not connecting dots, is what Canada has and not exactly what we're going for. And Canada's population can fit into the size of, what, New York?
Right, but many countries in Europe as well have this, and it does seem to work.
It takes 23 Frances to fit into the size of Texas.
23? No, it's not 23. Don't get it. No, I looked at all the population.
It doesn't matter, though.
It takes 1,000 Frances. No. Texas is the size of the world.
So, okay, continue.
Oh, my God. Well, no, I looked it up because that's, you know, a typical argument about the other countries, and a really good website, The Problems with Socialized Healthcare, and it's called angelfire.com, and it just talks about worldwide experiments in socialism, and it lists the countries, because basically I binged and I just typed in questions like, what countries have socialized healthcare, stuff like that, and it's Great Britain, Canada, Cuba, New Zealand, Australia, you know, former USS, R type places. But, the deal is they're not as big as us. Like, America is approaching, you know, 300 million as a country population.
Right.
And all the others, like, America is still 9 times bigger than Canada, like, the population.
But what does the size? I mean, you said that, too. What does the size have to do with anything, though? I mean, everything. We are
a big
country.
It's manageable.
And we seem to manage most of the problems we have, or not problems, but issues that we have. Mm-hmm. Why can't we not handle healthcare? You know, I mean, what would keep us from doing this? I mean, you've got systems in place in this country that do seem to work.
That's kind of what we're talking about.
I just
feel
like none of the government, I don't think they work. And the only thing that's growing right now in our country is the government. The private sector has not grown. Mm-hmm. And unemployment is way up from when Bush was in charge, and they always dogged him, and I get really annoyed because, you know, I'm from Texas, and Bush spoke at my graduation, and I thought he was a good speaker back then. I don't know what happened to him when he got into office. He kind of lost it, but he used to be a really good speaker, and the deal is, under Bush, unemployment was at its lowest that it had been in years.
Yeah.
And now
unemployment
is like at 10%.
Yeah, but then we can – you know what? It's like I don't – when it comes to economy, I don't think presidents have that much to do with it, you know?
Oh, it's now they don't.
The economic cycles and stuff, you know?
But the thing is, Sam, okay, and I totally understand. I actually agree with you.
Right.
But the deal is, as far as the, what is it called? The mainstream media, as far as how they portray things and try to, like, basically mind brainwash people, you know, or just get, like, their talking points out. When Bush was in charge, it was all up to the president, and it was completely him. Now that Obama's in charge, oh, it has nothing to do with the president, and it's just such doublespeak, and it's just time for, I think a lot of people do see it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them are really noticing it. And the thing is, it's too late because we already have, you know, the people that we've elected for in charge, and they have these ideals. They want to reshape our country. They want to spread the wealth. They don't want to have America on top. That's how I see it, is that they think America needs to be punished for being a world leader. And, you know, we can't have oil. I mean, it just kind of goes into a lot of things.
Well, there's a lot of class.
I'm sorry, I really get off on
tangents. There's a lot of class envy that has been used as a tool to kind of get people that have made less money, that have had struggling circumstances, to kind of think of it in a sense of, yeah, let's spread the wealth. Well, it doesn't work. It may be a good concept. It doesn't work.
Right.
It's not
capitalism.
Capitalism has a good and bad face.
It does.
And it's
greed.
There's greed to it, and I'm not saying that's good or right, but I'm also saying it allows people to.
Okay, let's take a break here, and we have a caller. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm on the air. Okay, good. I wanted to just talk a little bit about the health care.
Okay.
Hello.
And who are you?
All right. Hey, how are you? Listen, if I could make a few points.
What
you
is
know,
your name?
We've got all 50 states, and we were set up by the Constitution. Each state could be like a different laboratory to find out what plan would be the most effective, which one's the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's already failed up in Massachusetts. It's failed
That's what
in
I was
Tennessee
gonna ask.
Completely. Right? Are you with me?
Yeah. Go on about Massachusetts. I want to know.
Yeah, it's failed there. It's failed in Tennessee. You know, they've had a big public system there that's horribly in debt, way beyond the cost, way beyond what the government there predicted it would be. And over in England and Canada, the you know, if you're a young person, you're okay. But as soon as you need surgery, they aim for the United States.
Yeah.
You know, they want to come down here. So anyways, I'm just saying, with the awesome system we have in this country of finding the most productive way to handle health care, we've completely bypassed that by completely ignoring each different state. And this top-down takeover, it's a nightmare.
Right.
You know, we've got, you know, they've hired like 16,500 IRS agents to enforce this new policy.
Yeah, really? Yeah. It's going to be on your tax return that you have to pay health care.
Really? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Let me ask you, what do you know about...
Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
If you compare the cancer rates, the survival rates in America versus Canada or anywhere else in the world, America is overwhelmingly better. So again, when you're seriously sick, no one has compared with America ever.
Right. That's what I was saying. Let me ask you, what is the situation with Massachusetts and Tennessee, and why did it fail? I've heard that a lot of the doctors are fleeing those states and stopping their practices. What do you know about that?
Well, just the more government control, the worse a system works. It's just always been the case for some reason, just the inefficiencies in the government. And, you know, as soon as the government comes in, as you all were saying earlier, and says, hey, we're not going to, you know, let me just say this. We could really focus on the poor and really take great care of them, you know. But as soon as the government comes in and says, hey, we're going to handle everybody, you know, we're going to cover Bill Gates, we're going to cover everybody in the whole, you know, everyone's going to be free health care for everybody. Well, that's a huge red flag.
Right. It's super.
You know, and again, and as far as taxation goes, you know, this is going to be the largest tax increase in American history that just got signed into law.
Right.
Now that it's passed, plus all the bailouts and the mortgage companies, AIG, et cetera, we're looking at 47% of the private market is going to be controlled by the government. And that, I think, is scary.
Right. Now, what about, though, one thing that I'm concerned with is every year your insurance company raises your
premium.
By 20%, and they don't ask anybody. You know, they just go ahead and do this, and you know, it's out of control.
Well,
let me ask you this: why would they completely ignore the suggestion of taking insurance companies from across the country and letting them compete across state lines?
Yeah.
And letting competition run wild? That would immediately lower the premiums, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not even a question, but they just completely ignored that idea. Or trying to get some type of a tort reform.
Yeah,
where
exactly. It's
you control the lawyers, you know, the frivolous lawsuits, which are just a number in the thousands. Those would be two hugely effective, immediate free market ways to lower premiums.
And didn't they pass a tort?
No, that was in Texas.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, in Texas. And did they have...
It was probably 5 or 6 years ago they passed tort reform, and because of it, private practices really flourished.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year ago, they tried to, undo the tort reform, because, you know, lawyers and people, they're always fighting for whatever.
Right.
And I think they kept it, but that's one of the things... I mean, obviously, we're Texans, so we pay attention to Texas more. But that's one of the things that had helped private practices flourish is because they had practiced, or not practiced, but they had passed the tort reform.
Right.
Which, do you guys know what a tort is? Does anybody know out there?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's like a law, right?
Well, I was just reading it the other day in my friend's little law about public schools book. And it's, you know, basically anything where you have a disagreement between people about... I'm not even going to say it right now. But anyways,
anyway,
look up tort reform. Make sure you know what it is.
Tort reform. Is our caller still with us?
Yeah, caller, I wanted to ask you, though.
Can I make one more comment, then
please.
I'll get out of your way?
We love it.
You're not getting in our way at all. In fact, I was going to ask you, are you saying there is no competition among the insurance companies?
Well, look at us here in California. It's very minimal. What do we got? We got Aetna, we got Health Net, we got Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we were competing with companies all across the country? You know, like what we do with food, or with, I mean, that's a bad comparison, but, you know, companies compete in this bizarre thing, and the government can lift that restriction immediately, and that would immediately cause tremendous competition, lower prices. Yeah, no doubt about it. Can I just say one thing? Just a quick summary. If you look at our healthcare system, right? Look at the worst case scenario. You get a person in their 20s or even their 30s, as you were talking about before, Starbucks. What do they take? Like a, how much a month? Like 120 bucks or something?
Oh yeah, it was like 135 a month.
Okay, so for 135 a month, and then you might have a deductible. So look at the worst case scenario. Say your deductible is $5,000 you'd have to pay out of your pocket if you got hurt, right?
Yeah.
So for $5,000, you can be driving in your car, get hit by a truck, fly out the front window, get run over by three more cars, you're in 20 pieces. A helicopter will fly in. Some brilliant, great person, will, several people, a team of people, will piece you together, keep you alive, take you to the best physicians in the world, surgery, high-tech equipment, keep you alive. You know, you've got the highest chance of remaining alive, all for $5,000. You can't get a crappy car for $5,000.
Oh, I know.
You can't even get a Saturn.
Our system can be made, our system can be made much better, but we have a beautiful, beautiful system that is just directly being destroyed.
Yeah.
But it's inefficient, bizarre. It's really not about healthcare. It's much more about control of the populace. It's the oldest technique in the world to advance socialism.
Can I ask you something? You seem to be pretty up on this. When people are trying to really use Europe and use Canada, and we were talking about how they're using socialized healthcare to illustrate, well, hey, it worked here. Why can't we use it? Or this whole comparison to Europe. What are your thoughts on that? And where that is either
Well, as I said before, if you go right down the line, you can look at one of the easiest things to immediately look at is cancer survival rate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And ours are much, much higher. And just wait lists, the time it takes for you to see a surgeon, not just any surgeon, a brilliantly trained person.
Yeah, somebody
you know, up there, you get put on a waiting list. Again, if you hear it's great, oh, it's fine in Australia or it's fine in England and Canada, you're usually talking to a younger person that hasn't really dealt with an illness.
That's true.
Talk to somebody that needs heart surgery or has dealt with cancer, and you'll oftentimes hear a horror story.
Right.
How do you?
And again, the wait times are just bizarre. And, I mean, one of the biggest things, not to just filibuster, but the cost as it stands today, it is just absolutely unpayable for future generations.
Oh, I know.
Because you know their estimate of what it's going to cost is completely, entirely incorrect.
What do you mean? Like it's higher than it should? Like it's going to keep going?
No, it'll be over the, you know, like our Medicare, Medicaid, those things completely ballooned out of control, have us in terrible debt, Social Security, bizarre debt. And this is the grandfather of all those entitlements, so this is bigger than any of them. Right. And there would be no way for our, you know, if you had kids or whatever to repay it. I mean, this really has the potential to bankrupt the country. There's no chance you can put, what is it, how many, 300 million people?
Yeah, we're right at about 300 million.
300 million people, we're going to cover all of their insurance. It's not going to cost us anymore, or it's going to cost us a trillion. Ridiculously incorrect. Right. And any of the studies, anytime the government comes out and says, well, it's going to cost this much, it's always been in every one of the programs, including the recent programs in Massachusetts and Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's always blown past that times 10, times 15, not even close.
What do you think about this? And this is my question for you is, I've got a lot of friends from all different parts of the world, and so many of them have become citizens here, and they go, I feel like we love America more than Americans do, and I don't know why they're trying to use these other government systems as a kind of as a blueprint to kind of go, and they're like, it's backtracking, and they're kind of seeing a tear at the American fabric. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you see that? Do you see that this has any bigger part to play in something beyond healthcare, but also about kind of the way of the American, you know, government?
My opinion would be it's just sort of a not even an in-depth study, but a mild study of history, an interest in history, and seeing what has happened over time with governments, you know, a free society, and how they've lost their freedom, and understanding actually what it is that we have here. You know, a lot of people, I think, they just think this is just how it is. This is just how things are. They don't understand the unbelievable place we live in.
Yeah.
I think
an awful lot of people, they luxuriate in this society, and they don't understand the the freedom they have, the liberty.
Yeah, there you go.
Freedom isn't free.
No, it's not. It's so
I'd say a little study of history, that's all. History.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
You know, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
If someone comes up to you and says, hey, we're going to give you free health care, and you know, a lot of these kids, they're busy, not to come down on them so hard,
yeah.
but they're going to school, they're trying to get a job, and then someone just happens in conversation over coffee, hey, they're pushing for free health care.
Yeah.
Heck yeah! You know, and the rich people are going
to
pay. All right, that's how it should be. You know, they really don't know that you could take all the funds from every rich person in this country. It really won't make a dent. They have to crush the middle class
yeah.
to actually pay for this thing,
yeah.
and that's the design of it. You know, the middle class is what holds the money, and that's where they're aiming.
Yeah.
But you tell the middle class, we're going to hit the rich. It's really the oldest game in the book.
Right.
Wow.
What is your name, caller? Your first name?
Greg.
Greg. Thank you
hey.
So much for calling, Greg. You
yeah,
really
thanks,
illuminated
Greg.
I enjoy
a lot
your show.
Here.
I enjoy your show.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for
okay,
listening.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, he's got a lot of good points, you know, and I think the bottom line here of what I'm hearing is, yes, we do have free health care, but it doesn't mean that it's better health care, you know, because there's no competition, you know, and when there's no competition, you don't get good service.
Well, and I was wondering, whatever happened to the government being against monopolies?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they took down AT&T for being like the number one cell phone service, and because of that, Sprint and what are the other ones that are out there? You know, T-Mobile. You know, all of those came about because they said, oh, you can't have a monopoly. And now suddenly we're supposed to be for monopolies.
Mm.
The government having a monopoly on healthcare just doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yes. So I think what we're seeing here is the government getting involved more and more in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying we want to see less of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think.
Well, there's something to be said.
So, we're moving towards socialism.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been moving towards it for a long time. Look at Social Security. It started back in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
you know, with FDR.
Right.
And they designed that, from what I understand, is that they designed it so they could be in power.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that Democrats and so that socialism could really flourish. I mean, hello, it's called Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is going broke. I mean, when I'm old and need it, I just don't think it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what people don't get, it's people think that, oh, well, you don't want people to have health care, you don't care about the poor. It's not it. It just doesn't work. I have a friend from Germany. She goes, Kara, communism is good. It just doesn't work.
Right.
She said it's good. It doesn't work, though. People keep thinking we're going to have a utopia in this lifetime on this earth, and we need to kind of make everybody equal. Well, guess what? The heart of man, total power corrupts totally, right?
Mm.
And the reality is once you start saying, take care of me, you're giving up your rights.
Mm.
You're giving up your rights. And people need to wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know,
and it freaks me out and irritates me.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, thank goodness for, you know, what is it? Madison? I'm trying to remember, you know, back the Federalist Papers. That's why we have separation of powers, and that's why we can sue. I mean, it's going to be hard to get it undone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could possibly, you know, who knows if it ever can totally be undone. I mean, hopefully, I think there's nothing totally impossible, but it's going to be very difficult for those of us that really disagree. But that's why we do have separation of powers, and that's why there is the judiciary system. You know, and Obama totally flipped them off in public.
Right.
Do you remember that? You know what I mean? It was at a public, was it the State of the Union? He was standing, and you know how they sit in their robes behind
right.
the president?
Uh-huh.
You know, they are by law not allowed to say anything.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because they're
the
supposed to be.
The Speaker of the House and the Vice President.
Who?
Those are the ones that sit behind him? Is that what you
mean?
No,
the judiciary, the judges.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
In their robes, they
Sorry.
Sit behind. Oh, yeah, I'm glad to
okay.
clarify.
I thought you meant like in the speech, like the State of the Union and stuff. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, no, in the State of the Union, you know, the all the judges are sitting behind Samuel
right.
Alito and all those guys, and they're supposed to be, you know, bipartisan.
Right.
Right? And Obama says he really takes a jab at them, and I don't remember the exact quote, but all the Democrats start standing up and they're cheering and jeering at them because the judges, the Supreme Court had upheld a thing that would it like got rid of parts of the McCain-Feingold, and it also upheld the freedom of speech, you know, the
First Amendment.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it was like parts of that, and you know, Obama didn't like it, and so he made a comment on national television,
mm-hmm.
and the judges can't say anything
right.
by law. It's just like, that's such a dick move.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that is an asshole move when you know your opponent can't say anything by law.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember which judge. I think it was the Judge Roberts, he like shook his head, or, you know, it's just like, that's not true, you know, but they can't respond.
Right.
Oh. So I'm just wondering and kind of hoping that they have a bone to pick with him.
Yeah.
And that they will, you know, really take into consideration this, what the states are suing.
I'm just pretty blown away about the unconstitutional aspect of this. And
it's been ripped to shreds. Our constitution has been
spat
upon.
It's scary when we have, it's not being adhered to, and then people are voicing their complaints, and yet they're pushing and signing something that the American people don't want. And
yeah.
And what do you do? What do you do when your freaking government decides they're effing you off, and it's not about the people, and everybody's gonna, you know, we're doing it.
Well, you get out and vote. Okay,
yeah.
You get involved, people. I mean, for those of you who really care, it's time for you to not just go get your lattes every day. It's time to vote. It's time to make sure you're registered, because we have an election coming up, you guys. Mm-hmm. It's an election year.
Right.
And, I mean, it's so funny, because the second that I heard Monday morning after I got back from my ski trip, and I heard that they had passed something in the House, and I was, like, so confused. What is going on? What had just happened? I was just skiing. Oh. And then I was just regular news, like NPR or whatever, and they're talking about how the Democrats got it passed. And then they said, Obama's now going to have to do damage control on all of the Democrats' reputation who passed the bill, because their constituents don't want it.
Really?
Yeah.
So do we know that? I mean, are there some numbers far as to the population?
Thank you for asking, Sam, because I did my homework.
You prepared.
Right here, we've got the Rasmussen reports, and these are pretty recent, and Rasmussen's pretty well trusted as far as I know. 53% oppose, and you can just go online, check it out, Rasmussen reports. You know, those findings include 23% who strongly favor the plan and 46% who strongly oppose it.
Uh-huh.
And that's just across the board. That's not like state by state, you know, county by county.
Are those Democrats?
So are you
This is just in general.
So we
Rasmussen
have
reports. They do like polling all the time on everything.
Yeah. So we're saying 47% of Americans don't want it.
Right. So you're saying
53%.
53%.
So you're saying that a lot of Democrats are not for it either.
No, a lot of them weren't.
Yeah. That's what's so interesting.
Well, what people don't know, and I don't know if they resolve this, we need to look into it, is that the health care bill was going to include abortions and partial abortions,
right,
which means if you and I or whoever agrees or doesn't agree with it, you're now forced to be paying for
right.
other people's abortions.
Yeah, but now they're talking about the president actually putting some limits on that.
Well, he better freaking do it. Better.
Well, and did you hear about Stupak? I mean, that's
Stupak.
The biggest deal is good old Stupak.
Yeah.
He's like saying, oh, we'll never vote for it. And then, oh, he gets a free airport. And he's like, oh, yeah, let's vote for it.
He gets a free airport?
Yeah, like basically he traded, you know, money from the government to get airports in for his wherever he, you know, is from. Sorry, I don't know where he's from, but I do know that he got some
free
airports.
He was one of the biggest kind of Democratic obstacles, right? Where he was he was very vocal about how they needed to restructure this, they needed to go back and reform this because it was really violating even a lot of pro-life Democrats. And so, thanks, Stu. Great.
Stupak is from Michigan.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
Thank you.
Way to go, Stu. Thanks for standing up for the people. And, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Man, that's crazy. That is just so crazy.
Yeah.
So at this point, when you said it's an election year, what do we have on the books, Claire?
I'm just saying, you know, your representatives are up for sale.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, if you don't agree with their politics, it's time to use your voice, because that's the only voice that we have in our country. It's called your vote, and your vote counts. And my biggest concern is voter fraud nowadays. You know what I mean? With people like Acorn and stuff like that. I mean, I just, it just really bothers me that it makes me wonder if the votes are being counted correctly. But, you know, you have to trust that it is, and hope that when you get out there and vote, it's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And just take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And get involved in your local government. Don't just be sitting there complaining. I can never stand, when I used to teach, that was my biggest thing, is to tell my students, you know, first of all, freedom, anything free is not free. You know, when people say free healthcare, because my students were always like, Miss Greer.
Yeah, it's free. Ms. Just Kopp like the caller said.
It's free. And I'm like, hello. But, you just cannot complain. You cannot sit around the water cooler and just bitch and when you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're for it or against it, don't just bitch about it.
Yeah.
Well,
but
and
it
that's the
like
thing.
A lot of people came out to vote last year.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
lot
they
of
got a big FU from Obama. That's the thing.
They sure did.
They sure did. All the young people that were like, Obama's in style. He's so popular. But they voted.
Yeah.
Guess what? they're going to get fined. Well, not fined. They're being taxed in $2,000 a year for
health
care.
That's because people elected him for the wrong reasons, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, oh, I like him. He's nice. Change, hope, you know, all that
black,
bullshit.
Let's say
you know?
It. Black.
Well, we're getting change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, black Sorry. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, don't get me wrong. When I was... whether it was going to be Hillary or Obama or whatever, I mean, yeah, part of me was like, man, this is awesome. This would be great for civil rights, and this would be great to see us progress as a country, having a black president. I love the fact that that happened.
Right.
But I couldn't, that doesn't justify being a good president.
Exactly.
It doesn't make you qualified. You know, and he's anyway. My point is.
But have we progressed? I'm sorry, if we're still looking at the color of people's skin, have we progressed? Should it matter anymore? Should it matter? I mean, obviously it does. Like, we look at people,
well,
we break them down.
Well, it's a process, you know. It's not going to happen all at once in that, you know. But I don't know. I just, you know, you mentioned George Bush and stuff. I just felt that he was an airhead, you know. And
well, a lot of people did.
I mean, because if you're saying that the economy, and he had nothing to do with the economy and stuff, or wait a minute, you're saying that he did, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that the mainstream media tried to paint the picture that he was the sole reason why the economy sucked, which it really didn't that much. Mm-hmm. We had a great economy because he cut taxes. Like, I remember when he cut taxes when he first got in office. I was like, what is this? Oh, new shoes. I was so excited. You know?
Well, he cut taxes on big businesses, right?
Well, and it was a middle class. It was just a big tax cut across the board.
It was, but what people don't understand is the whole taxing, the small businesses
and
stuff.
I didn't make that much money.
Yeah. Well, no, my point is people just aren't getting it that, you know, if they think, well, tax the person that makes the most money. But these people are going to pass that tax down to the consumer, and mm-hmm. and it hurts everybody. When you basically give tax breaks to companies and corporations, basically it helps everybody. It creates more jobs. And
yeah. Well, the thing is, I made a D in economics, okay? I hated my economics teacher, and she was the reason why I did not graduate with honors. And I'm still kind of pissed at her to this day. But I can figure out that if you cut taxes, people are going to have more money. You know, businesses are going to flourish. You know, because the people who hires people, it's businesses, whether it's small, large, you know, corporations, whatever. And if you cut corporate taxes, if you cut taxes, if you keep them low, people are going to have that extra income, and our country's going to grow.
Right.
It's just so.
And there's
going to
be more
sense.
Jobs. I mean, how many people? I mean, I know a lot of friends of mine that are business owners that have, you know, staff of like five that have had to cut it down to like one person or get rid
right.
of them all.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
can't. They cannot carry the taxes. They can't take care. It's really crippling.
Right. Well, and the thing nobody talks about. Well, few people do. Some people talk about it. The Bush tax cuts expire this year, 2010. Mm-hmm. So there's already going to be a silent tax increase on all of us. You know what I mean? Then now we have the health care. Now we have the TARP bill. I mean,
And the sales tax, right? Sales tax is pretty much in California up to 10% in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like 9.25% now, right?
Yeah.
In LA County.
Yeah, it is.
And they raised it twice in like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where is all that money going? This is my point, is how are we allowing these people to still be in charge when they cannot balance the books? You know, get them out of there. It's just so annoying. You would not allow somebody to be the head of a company if it keeps losing, like the head of Disney, you know, losing money every
right,
year.
Right.
They would be fired. Their asses would be on the street in a second. Mm-hmm. And yet these people are allowed to make the mess and that say they can fix it. Oh, I made this huge mess and now I'm going to clean it up by making more mess. It's just they're not being held accountable for their actions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to say, these are my intentions. Oh, and these are my actions. Oh, I'm sorry that my actions didn't match up to my intentions and I screwed your country up, but my intentions were good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't get, you know, hired based on your intentions.
Right.
I mean, you shouldn't be able to keep your job.
That's
based
true,
on that.
But I mean, that's what happens. And I mean, I think that it's very common, whether Republican or Democratic, for people to overpromise and underdeliver. However, the stakes are really high, and there's been some just real blatant misuse. And we're just seeing, it's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and getting the same result and keep doing it, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so if we're voting people in that are not qualified, that don't have the experience, that don't have the education in certain areas, I mean, really, it's a reflection of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at our politicians, you know, I mean, look at all the things that they do in their personal lives, and then you realize that they bring that kind of attitude and that set of beliefs mm-hmm. to their work as well, you know?
Yeah.
To whatever it is that they do. So, my question is, though, so let's get to the abortion part of this mm-hmm. now.
Oh, yeah, let's get there.
Okay.
Hey.
So do you think this bill, well, obviously you probably don't think that this bill should support abortion?
No, our country is 60% conservative. We really are. And you could talk to anybody from Europe that comes here from Canada. They're always shocked at how conservative our country is.
Right.
You know, because Hollywood portrays us as a certain way, you know, so the things that we export aren't very conservative.
Right.
And yet we really are. We have these very Christian ideals, you know, in general, as a country. It's still
agreed.
Very, you know, and it's just so sad to see, no matter where you are, because I understand all the arguments for abortion and rape and whatever, the things that are really, really awful that can happen to a female. But in general, if you look at, and I have to bring this up, because California is so pro, like, nature and save the dolphins, and, you know, people are nicer to you if you have your dog with you than when you're walking down the street by yourself. It's like, if we're going to take such good care of our dogs and not allow their poo to be on the street for more than 5 minutes, you know, and be crying when dolphins die, and, you know, just so upset when the trees are cut down by your house, how can we not take care of the most innocent of all, those that are unborn and in the womb?
Right.
You know, and how can we let our tax dollars go for that?
I think, first of all, I personally agree, but what we need to identify as well, and that was a great point, is if we say, because Nancy Pelosi's argument was, well, it's legal, that we're not changing the laws on abortion. Mm. However, it changes when you force other people to violate their beliefs and violate their moral code of ethics to pay for something.
Right.
You're forcing them. Do you know that there's certain doctors that refuse to do the procedures because it violates, they can't even do it. Do you know partial birth abortion at times includes the feet of a fetus, of a baby, hanging out of the vagina and while they're mutilating the child?
Mm.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about partial birth abortion. We're talking about abortion on all different levels. And we're saying, now your tax dollars are in question of going to pay for something that you personally are completely against.
Right.
And I think that this isn't, we're not discussing should it be legal or not legal. We're not talking about taking it away.
Right.
We're not even discussing Roe versus Wade right now. We're talking about it being way far above and beyond, where now people that are deeply against this are now forced to have to violate their own beliefs.
Right. But let me ask you this. What about a very religious family that believes if their child is sick, they're not going to take him to the hospital because God's going to help him?
Okay,
right?
Whatever.
Well, the thing is that violates their beliefs, but if you don't violate their beliefs, the kid will die.
How is that at all an accurate comparison to what we're talking about?
Because what you're talking about is violating people's beliefs in order to do something that's legal.
Okay, help me break it down.
We're talking about death of innocent babies.
Mm-hmm.
Versus,
like, I'm not saying, what are you saying, Sam? Somebody has,
I'm saying
somebody's
that
against
just
medicine
because you
and
don't
doctors.
Believe it, it doesn't mean that you are not forced to support it because everybody else does.
So, no, but I don't see how that's a good comparison, because you're saying here's a family that doesn't believe in medicine and doctors and their kid is suffering because of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We have nothing, or to my knowledge, where we go in and we force them to violate that. Even though we were looking at...
Why? It's illegal for them not to send the kid and try to save his life.
That's a very gray area, actually. It's a very gray area. At what point is it illegal for them to deprive them of care? At what point? I mean, there's a lot of people that don't give their kids vaccines because they're against it, and then their kids have mental illness, or they have different kinds of deformities because they didn't get certain vaccines.
Right. Well,
and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's their belief, and I agree with you. The heart of where you're coming from is really to protect the child.
Right.
But I also think that in this situation, it is still different. It's really saying we're talking not just about prevention or neglect. We're talking about what people perceive as killing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's different. You know, and whether or not you agree with it or not, as far as killing, I mean, that's an in-house debate.
Right.
But we're saying, why force, if it's about choice, freedom of choice, why force your choice on someone else?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's hypocritical.
But, well, yeah, but that happens all the time. You know, I mean, with everything you don't agree, you have to, again, if it's a law, you have to go with it, even if you don't
agree
with it.
But who makes the laws? It's not just some lawman in the sky that gets to decide what the laws are. It comes from the people.
Right, but it usually goes based on the majority.
It comes from the people. And guess what? The majority of people are saying, we don't want this. They're saying, we don't want it, and they're still doing it. There's a problem with that. There's a major problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got over half of a country saying, look, this is not cool. And they're getting an FU.
And honestly, I just think there's something wrong with the heart of a country. I mean, getting into even more, like, out there beliefs. But seriously, when we care more about the trees than about unborn children, there is something wrong with us. Yeah. We are mentally fucked.
Yeah, well, you know, California is pretty, you know, pretty out there, I have to say. You know, I think overly liberal sometimes. But, you know, what are you going to do, you know? I mean, this state has a Republican president or governor.
Yeah, he's not Republican anymore, in my opinion.
I know, and we're still so liberal, you know, so
yeah.
That's why I think California has its own problems, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, well, any final thoughts that you wanted to get in and we didn't
any place people can go check this out and where they...
Well, you know, I just say, Bing it, Google it. There's so many... I am not, like, the most, like you said, expert on this at all, but you can make yourself an expert just by going online. And the thing, I guess my final thought is that I just think that all of the pervasive problems within the U.S. healthcare system are really from the result of statism, which is government intervention.
Right.
And I looked that up last night. I was like, what is statism? And it's the theory or practice that economic and political power should be controlled by the central government, you know, leaving the regional government and the individual with relatively little to say in political matters.
Right.
And I just really want people to wake up and instead of just bitching about it to your neighbor, to your friend, really get involved. You know, don't be ignorant. Don't play the blonde card. You know, don't play dumb, because when you do, little by little, you're
giving away your
freedoms
rights.
Are being taken from you if you don't do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying that this healthcare bill is unconstitutional. You're saying it's not good for the country.
Right.
And you're saying that it's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's essentially it,
I'd love
it,
to
right?
use it to scoop up my neighbor's dog poo. That'd be awesome.
Let me just use that bill real quick. Well, hopefully it stirred the pot. I mean, we're not the first at all to report on it. We're not. It's been brought to my attention by Johnny Damme. He's like, we're already on this topic. He's like, yeah, well, whatever. We've been, you know, I was like,
two
okay.
Two hot blondes.
Listen,
let's get on it.
My point is it is relevant. And like I said, we're not experts, but apparently no one else is. So we're going to have our get our licks in.
Yeah, there you go. Licks.
Go
I
in
like
there
that.
And get you a cut.
There you go. Okay, Claire, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been great.
It's been fun.
And you're welcome to come in anytime and talk about other topics too.
Chocolate balls and healthcare.
Chocolate balls, healthcare. Ball sacks. What else did we talk about today?
We talked about
I think you
salad.
Just I think you just need some
you just learned a couple of new terms.
I've already forgot them. I don't want to know them. I don't want to know them. I don't need them in my vocabulary. I don't need them in my vocabulary.
Man. She's such a hardcore conservative.
Me?
Yeah. Anyway.
Freaking out there, man. Yeah. I ran a marathon without training. Nothing conservative about me.
All right. Well, everybody wish me to get better, because I'm like stifling coughs here like crazy, you know?
You're hanging in there, Sam.
I am,
you're
somehow.
Doing good.
Take your vitamins.
But it's hard to laugh and cough at the same
time.
Well,
I think you're working it out. I bet your wife's got a great meal for you or something.
I hope so.
Aww.
I sure hope so.
She's a good wife.
Everybody, stay tuned for Rainforest Radio with Jenny Scholz. And coming up next... we're going to be here tomorrow. Right?
We are. We? Why wouldn't we? We're going to get it on like Donkey Kong.
There you go. And everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.